Well, good morning, everyone. Well, happy five-year anniversary of Calvary Chapel Palos Verdes. Praise God. We started this church on September 27th, 2020, right out here in this parking lot. And look at what the Lord has done in the last 5 years. It's pretty remarkable. And we want to celebrate that today. And so I really hope that you'll come out tonight. I see tonight as an evening where we can share story and just testimony of what the Lord has done in our lives individually and just to mutually encourage one another. So come on out, have an In-N-Out burger. And by the way, it's free, free food. You don't have to plan dinner. You can just come get a free burger. Food's always free here at Calvary. You can call this place Calvary Chapel, right? Because we love to give food and fellowship and all that. Also, bounce houses are gonna be so fun for the kids. There will be human foosball. If you don't know what that is, come find out. It's gonna be awesome. But I really do see tonight as an opportunity for us to just continue knowing one another and sharing all that the Lord has done in our lives. So whether this is your fifth year with us, so who was here first Sunday, 5 years you've been here? Awesome, raise your hands high. Awesome. Who's been here 4 years? 4 years. Okay. All right. How about 3 years? Okay. Two. All right. 1 year. 1 year. All right. Raise your hand if this is your first Sunday. All right. Look at this. We got a couple first Sundays in the house. So I like to think that we're all still new to this community because 5 years, it really, it's not that long of a time. But the Lord has done so much in the 5 years, and I just want to share a bit of testimony of what God has done. I know that the beginning of Calvary Chapel Palos Verdes is very much a faith-building story, but we make it our practice here from Sunday to Sunday to teach through books of the Bible. So we just go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, teaching through the Word of God. And so I don't always get the opportunity to share with you just what the Lord has done and some of the vision that we have for the church. So this is a special message. This is an anniversary Sunday where I get to share testimony and cast vision of what God has done. And I look forward to starting the Gospel of John next Sunday. So normally what I'd say at this point in the message is say, open your Bibles to such and such a place, and then we will just go through God's word. But today, as I said, is a little bit different, a little out of the norm. So let me read to you a scripture from Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, which sort of frames what I'll be talking about today. John was writing about the past, the present, and the future of God's plan for redemption. And this is what it says. Write therefore the things you have seen, those that are, and those that are to take place after this. And so God's church has a story. It's an unfolding story of God's grace for the glory of Jesus Christ. And we are but one local church that is part of God's redemption. And so I've written down a few thoughts to share with you about the church, our church, and it'll consist of these three parts of what was, what is, and what is to come. And you could say that this is a vision message at the five-year anniversary. And last week's message, I think, was also very important. We had a message from Romans chapter 12. If you didn't get the opportunity to listen to it, I want to encourage you to go listen because the title of the message was called The Church and Your Part in It. And this is your church. You have a part to play. You have gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to you for the building up of the body of Christ. And I've been so encouraged by how so many people, even just this last week, have been asking, how can I get plugged in? How can I use the gifts that God's given to me? And we want to see that more and more as this community builds. But when I begin to think about what a remarkable 5 years it has been, I've been reminded of this scripture that's been an anchor verse for my wife and I. It's from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. You're welcome to turn there in your Bible if you want to look at that verse. This verse is very much a promise that we've held on to. And God is so faithful, amen? And God's got this perfect track record. If you look back, you can just see God's perfect faithfulness. And if he's been faithful in the past, how can we not expect that he's going to be faithful in the future? And this verse just reminds me that God loves to show his faithfulness to the church. So it says this, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So that is a promise that we've seen unfolding over these last years. Something that we expect God will do in the future is he loves to blow our minds with what he's doing in the church. So one of the things that kind of frustrates me sometimes is how people sometimes disparage the church or speak down upon God's church. But the church is God's beautiful bride. And the church gives God glory. As my pastor in Santa Barbara would often say, he's like, the church is really just a misfit pack of weasels. We're just a bunch of people, you know, we all got our stuff and we're coming, you know, right? Tommy does that all the time. So we got some friends from Santa Barbara in the house today, by the way, who have been here every anniversary. So Ed and Charlotte, thank you for being here today. Every anniversary they've made it out. But we can expect that God is gonna be faithful in the generations to come. But how did we get here? How did this church happen? Well, let me share a little bit about that. And I guess in some ways it starts with my story. Although my story isn't the center of God's church, God's story is the center of this church. But I was born and raised here in the South Bay, born in 1988, Torrance Memorial Hospital. Okay, that's maybe too much detail, but... But my upbringing was not in the church. I didn't grow up in a Christian family. My parents divorced when I was very young. By the time I was 14, I'd already had my fourth father in the house. And so growing up, kind of a lot of change and a little tumultuous. But then I ended up moving to Santa Barbara at 12 years old. And, you know, I had my teenage years. I was a surfer, skater, just kind of doing my thing. And, you know, and then I walked into Calvary Chapel, Santa Barbara, toward the end of my high school years, about 17 years old. I like to say that I went for the girls in the half pipe, but I stayed for Jesus. But I got into that church, and I began to hear the word of God. I began to hear the gospel explained to me. And over about a month's period of time, I came to this point where I realized, I believe this. And I began following Jesus at that point in my life. I ended up, after high school, staying in Santa Barbara for college. I did 2 years at Santa Barbara City College, and then I went to UCSB, graduated from UCSB with a degree in communication and religious studies. People often ask if I went to seminary. No, I didn't go to seminary. But all through my college years, I was raised up in ministry at the local church, Calvary Santa Barbara. After college, I eventually was asked to come on staff, and I served as the high school pastor in that church for 7 years. And right in that time, I also met my beautiful wife, Leah. And I was working in a restaurant and at the church. At the same time, she came into my restaurant. I was like, who are you? But we kind of got set up, and we started dating. And from meeting to marriage was 13 months, and then we began having wonderful children and building our lives together. But after there was a transition of leadership at Calvary Chapel Santa Barbara, Pastor David Guzik was stepping back from his role as the senior pastor, and Tommy Schneider was coming, I was asked to serve as an assistant pastor. And I knew going into the role as assistant pastor that it wasn't going to be long-term. I did not want to be an assistant pastor. Not that there's anything wrong with it. And yet, as someone who loves to teach God's word, I was only able to teach the Bible like once every 10 weeks, 12 weeks or something like that. And Rob knows that feels like a lifetime when you want to teach God's word, you know? And so Rob's going to come up and share in a moment his perspective on what's happened since this point. But in that time, we began to pray about what was next for us. My wife and I really sought the Lord about, should we maybe take over an existing Calvary Chapel that needs a new pastor, or should we plant a church? And as we began praying about planting a church, we began to sense more and more from the Lord that that's what he was calling us to do. And so we knew that Palos Verdes was a place that we wanted to check out. And so we came down here in January of 2020. I was already convinced that God was calling us to this place, and my wife needed to have the Lord really call her as well. And in a week's span time, as we spent here just praying and driving around and just seeing this place, God confirmed in so many various ways that this is a place we needed to come and bring a Jesus-loving, Bible-teaching, Spirit-filled church. And so we went back to Santa Barbara and we said, we're gonna plant a church in Palos Verdes. And so that was in January of 2020. And so we began to plan and to pray. We had a home group where we were asking if anyone was interested in moving down with us. And then March came. You guys know what happened in March, right? Global pandemic. And so it totally turned our plans upside down. What are we gonna do? Churches are closing right now and we're trying to think about starting a new one. And so we began seeking the Lord even more, asking God in prayer, asking people of their wise counsel, what should we do? And yet we could not shake the call of God that was on our hearts, that we just sensed the Lord was still calling us to Palos Verdes to plant a church. And so we were just waiting on the Lord. And then one morning I woke up and I was having my coffee and I was looking on Zillow for places that might be available for us to live and rent. And this condo came up. And when I saw this condo, it just like, it looked too good to be true. Like the price was right, it seemed like a scam. And I was like, well, I'm just gonna call and see. And the owner's like, yeah, it just went on the market today. You can come down and take a look. And so we got in the car that day and we drove down. And it was when like bathrooms were all closed. And so we had like a little porta potty in the back of the van. And so we got down here and we walked into this condo and immediately we're like, yes, this would be perfect. But it was April and we weren't planning to move until like July. And so we're like, this is a bit of span time. There's no way this is gonna stay available. But we said, what if we moved in June? Could you hold it for us? And we thought, there's probably not a good chance that this is gonna happen. And so we met with the realtor, and then as we got in the car, my wife just prayed a really simple prayer. She said, do it, Lord. My wife's got that kind of a prayer life where she can, I'm usually kind of like, oh God, please, will you? And I'm like all word, I'm like words and words and words. And she's like, do it, Lord. I kid you not, seconds later, my phone rings. And it's the realtor and he's like, you wouldn't believe this. I just talked to the owner and she said, let's do it. Yeah. She's gonna give you 2 months free rent and you guys can move whenever you guys want. And we're like, that doesn't happen, right? Tim's a realtor, he knows that doesn't happen, right? So, you know, we're like, God, you're in this. And so I remember being on PV Drive and I called back to Santa Barbara. I told the guy, could you hold on? I gotta call. He's like, what are you? You should say yes right now. And so, but I called back and I was talking to Pastor Tommy in Santa Barbara and I'll never forget that conversation because I asked him, what do you think we should do? And he said, well, Daniel, it's faith that led you and your family down there in January to pray about planting this church and God has totally called you. And it's faith that got you in the car today to go down there and to look at this place. And I mean, look at this, look at what God's doing. And it's faith that is gonna guide you all along the journey as you plant this church, as you pastor this church. It's always gonna be about faith. And so I say you do it. So we ended up going back to Santa Barbara and we told everyone there, we're moving to PV and we're still gonna plant this church. We ended up moving a little earlier than we planned. We moved in May. And when we got here, we had a crew come and fill up our U-Haul and bring us down here and drop us off, and then they all left, and then it was just us. And we didn't know anyone when we arrived. And so every day we woke up, we just said, God, will you lead us today? Spirit, will you guide us? And so we were doing fun and creative things. We started a social media account called If You Know, You Know PV. We would do play dates and scavenger hunts and beach days and ice cream socials, any way we could just be around people. And my wife started something that became very popular in the community called Mom Mondays. And it was just moms trying to come and be with their kids and find community. And what did I do? Well, I went surfing, because why not? And so one day I was surfing at Palos Verdes Cove, and in Santa Barbara, I never talked to people when I was surfing. And then now I like come down here and I'm like, hey, nice to meet you, right? And I ended up running into a guy who was a mutual, he was an acquaintance from Santa Barbara. And I told him that we were planting a church, and he said, well, why don't you put your phone number on my van and I'll connect you with some people in the community. So I did that, and he gave me 5 phone numbers, and I called all of them, and one of those people ended up being Chris Cannon. And Chris Cannon and I ended up having coffee together, and he wanted to connect me to more people, and so he introduced me to Steve Heffernan. And he said, you know, Steve is the area director of Young Life in Palos Verdes. He's an awesome guy. You should meet him. He also surfs, so go hang out with him. And then Steve and I ended up grabbing coffee. This was after they ended up coming onto a Zoom prayer meeting with us one evening, which was a whole nother story. But we ended up going and having coffee, and at the end of our coffee time, he said, how can I help you? I was like, well, we're looking for a place where we can start a Bible study or something. You know, we're gonna just start small and see what the Lord does. So if you know of anywhere we can meet, that'd be great. And he's like, well, we use some space up at this church on the hill called Life on the Hill. And maybe I could show it to you. I have the keys. You wanna go check it out? I was like, sure. And so we drove up here that day and he gave me a tour of the building. He's like, do you want me to connect you to the leadership of this church? I said, yeah, love that. And so he sent a text with me and Pastor Rob in the group text. And Steve said, hey, Pastor Rob, this is Daniel Hendrickson. He's from Santa Barbara. He's just moved down here to plant a church. Rob is the pastor of Life on the Hill. And by the way, you know, you guys both surf. And I was like, still to this day, Rob and I have never surfed together. But then I met Rob, and we came to a service here on a Sunday of Life on the Hill, and we got to meet the leadership here. It was Pastor Rob and Ben Kaibui and Ben Kim were all here. And that week, we ended up going out to lunch, and I got to share the vision of what God was calling us to do in planting this church. And so in that time, though, we were talking about just what if we just use some space here? And it'd be 2 churches under 1 roof. But maybe in a few years, we could merge the 2 churches and just become one work together. But if we're gonna do that, we should probably get to know each other and know what we each teach and our various views of doctrine and theology. And so we got together and began having conversations over these things. And I was discussing my views and how I felt God was calling us to lead the church. And I began to explain my view of the Holy Spirit and just really realizing that a church needs to be both full of the Word and full of the Spirit. It's been said that a church that is the Word but not the Spirit dries up. A church with the Spirit but not the Word blows up. And a church with the Word and the Spirit grows up. And I began to explain more about what I feel is, not just feel, but actually see in Scripture about how the Holy Spirit empowers you for a life of ministry. And I began speaking about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And this was a bit of a sticking point. But Pastor Rob wanted to do some more studying regarding this teaching, regarding the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, particularly the baptism with the Holy Spirit. You know, he's a lawyer, so he went and did like a deep dive, 2-week study, and we were talking back and forth. And at the end of his studies and looking at all the different pastors that he loves and respects, realizing that they hold to this view too, he came to this place where he realized, I've been neglecting the Holy Spirit's role in my life and ministry, and I wanna pray for this baptism with the Holy Spirit. And so we ended up meeting here at the church in the back offices, and we had a time of prayer where the Holy Spirit of God was poured out upon us. And it went from us just talking about, well, let's maybe 2 churches under 1 roof share some space, to them saying, can we just become part of this church plant? And we'll just join in planting Calvary Chapel Palos Verdes together. And so seemingly overnight, I was handed the keys to the kingdom. Like, you can be the lead pastor and will serve in whatever way, but here's the building, here's all the resources in the building, here's our bank account, we're lawyers, we can set up the 501c3, like all of these things. And it's like, what? But there was this vision that Life on the Hill had as a church that really set the stage for this to even be a possibility. And so because of that, I want to bring up Pastor Rob to share a little bit about Life on the Hill and what God has done to bring us together. So,
Thanks, Daniel.
Slide it up.
Yeah, there we go. So yeah, Pastor Benkai and I were just two guys who were lawyers and also happened to be pastors. And we pastored this little church here called Life on the Hill from 2010 to 2020. We grew to maybe 60 adults on a good weekend, maybe 80, maybe 20, 30 kids. And it was really hard work because we worked full time and did this all volunteer. But we kept having this vision for taking the hill for Christ. And we didn't know how God was going to do that. And we weren't like a big corporate church that had a one-year plan or a three-year plan or a five-year plan. We had a one plan, which was get ourselves and our flock as close as we could behind the Lord Jesus and then be ready to move whenever he moved. And so when we met Daniel, and I want to give you some of the details of how we knew that and heard his vision, we thought, Jesus, you're on the move. You know, we need to be part of this. And so, yeah, I remember Daniel and Leah coming to that first Sunday. I was giving the message on Psalm 1, and somehow I lost my last couple pages of notes. And I was like, all embarrassed. There's this pastor here, and here I am messing up the message, forgetting what I was going to say. But we talked afterwards. Really, you could tell our hearts were already blending together. We had lunch later that week, listened to more of Daniel's vision. I came back and talked to our elders and told them about this. And Daniel and Leah had just requested, could we just rent the building from you on a Sunday afternoon? And we talked as elders and we said, well, why don't we just, you know, give it to them and they can use it on Sunday also. And I remember going out to lunch with you guys, Janet and I did, to tell them that. And Leah's jaw like just dropped to the table. Like, really, you're going to give us this thing? And so that was the first little sign. We kept meeting, as Daniel was saying, and I invited him to come speak to all of our elders about his vision to reach the hill for Christ. And he did. And as he walked out and we continued our meeting, I said to my fellow elders, I said, you know, I was blessed at one point in my ministry to work with Francis Chan for a few years, and he was a very gifted evangelist and pastor. And I said, I haven't heard someone with a heart for Jesus like that since I knew Francis Chan, and that was Daniel. I said, we got to do this. We got to be joined with him. And so we're all praying for this, and I was ready to do it, waiting for the Spirit to work in everyone else's hearts. I was driving home from work one day, and I was listening to a Greg Laurie message on how you just got to be ready to move when God says move. And he was teaching out of Moses, or God parting the Red Sea and Moses walking through it. And he said, can you imagine how the history of Israel, even the world, would be so different if when God parted the Red Sea, Moses just sat there and thought about it. Should I do this or not? You know, there's times when you got to go. And so I said, that's it. We're going. So I came back and shared that with him. And then you mentioned it last time, but can I just share briefly? So Daniel calls Tommy and everybody else back up to Santa Barbara and says, hey, these guys want to do this with me. And Tommy's response was, well, you're kind of, Daniel, like our daughter we just sent off to college, and you're saying, oh, we met a boy, you know, and we're not so sure about this. And so they came down and spent 3 days here with us. They listened to all of Ben Kai's and my sermons to make sure we were okay, and everything just clicked. No red lights whatsoever. And then I remember a prayer time here. We all of us came up and looked at the church with Tommy. We sat right out there in a circle, my wife prayed a prayer, I remember, at the end. All she said was, let the adventure begin. Mm. And then we all finished praying. And at Life on the Hill, we'd had this custom of when we're finished praying on a Sunday, we do 1, 2, 3, Jesus. And we get up, we start to explain that to them, and they go, we do the same thing. Yeah. And so we all did, ended it with that 1, 2, 3, Jesus. Everything just, we knew it. This is it. So that's awesome. There's a lot more I could share, but that's enough for now.
Thanks, Rob. Awesome. So then our first Sunday then was on September 27th, 2020. And we met out in the parking lot. And to our surprise, there was about 150 people there our first Sunday. And we studied the Gospel of Mark in the first year of the church. And many were added to the church in that first year. And so much has happened since that. I remember that first year because there were many firsts. Like, my daughter was the first person to be baptized in this church, and that was a very special moment for us. Since then, we've had over 250 baptisms in this church. And many people, yeah, you can clap. And as people have just been added to the church daily, those who are being saved and just people coming hungry for the word of God, that has been just what we've sought to do is just feed the sheep, right? Just give the word of God. And so since we've started this church, we've studied the Gospel of Mark, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, 1st and 2nd Peter, Nehemiah, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, James, Philippians, Hebrews, Colossians. We did the letters to the seven churches, as well as Acts and Jonah, and that's not even mentioning all of the books that we've studied in our men's and women's ministry, in our youth and young adults, and we have been a church that has sought to give the whole counsel of God's word. And so God's just been working and moving over these years as we've been faithful to minister the word and the gospel. You know, we've had Easters and Christmases, we've had conferences and camps, Bible studies and home groups and summer series. We've done weddings and funerals. We've had baptisms and child dedications. And through it all, God has been faithful. And just this last week, I was taking a trip down memory lane looking at photos from our first days and listening even to the first sermon that I preached. And I was like, ooh, I hope I'm getting better as a Bible teacher. But also there was this series that I did even before the church began. As I said, we arrived here and we didn't know anyone. And I just wanted to get God's word out to the people. And so I taught from my bedroom on my phone, a series through the book of Colossians. And I chose Colossians because the backstory on that is Paul had never actually been to Colossae. He'd never actually met the people in that church, and yet he still was able to teach them and to give them the gospel. And so I thought this would be a great book to teach to people that I've never met any of these people. But if people find these sermons, and then we can go and we can start a church, and then by the end of that series, we knew our first Sunday would be September 27th, 2020. And so you can go back in the archives and listen to those messages. They're kind of funny. But it's just been amazing to see what God has done over the years, especially just with how he has built our team here, our staff. And I just want to give a few shout outs today. First, I wouldn't be able to lead this church without my beautiful wife, Leah, and just her help. I'm just really thankful for my three children, Kennedy, Caleb, and Knox, and just that they've been part of this story as well. And then, you know, Rob and Janet have just been so amazing. Rob's wife, Janet, is like the brains and the arms of this church. She just does so much around here, and really thankful for them. We have then Ben and Nicole Kim, just such a power couple, and they just volunteer and serve. I don't know if you guys realize this, but Ben, our worship pastor, he's also a chief surgeon at Kaiser, along with being our worship pastor every single week for the last 5 years. If I ever feel like I'm a hard worker, I just look at Ben and I'm like, wow, this guy works so hard. We've got Steve and Robin Heffernan. And again, they've been with us from day one, some of the first people we met here, and how they've served the Lord and built such a wonderful, welcoming community for this church. I want to especially mention, even though he's not here, Pastor Ben Kai and his wife Margarita, who helped start this church, have since moved to the East Coast, but they were instrumental in the beginnings of Calvary Chapel Palos Verdes. And then, of course, our staff. We just have such an amazing staff. I call it the lean but mean machine, because with the church this size, there's really just a few people who just week in and week out are so faithful. Johnny and Molly. Man, what an amazing couple. Of course, Ryan and Sam, who lead our high school ministry. They've been so incredible. We've got Roberta with us, who leads Healing the Heartbreak of Abortion and serves in so many ways. And newest addition, we've got Jasmine on staff, excited to do youth and, yeah, prayer team, yep. And then we've got Micah, just, man, Micah crushes it all the time. And then Matt, who does youth and tech, and he's so awesome. God so gifted him. And then, of course, that's the staff, but we can't do it with just the staff. We have such an incredible team of volunteers in this church. I mean, Kim and Gil Esparza and what they've brought to this church, yeah. Serving in our care ministry, we've got Carol and Amy, and we've got amazing Bible study leaders, both in the men's ministry as well as the women. I think of Jen Cox, who's been teaching in our women's ministry since the beginning, and just so incredible, yeah. And so across all these ministries, we've got kids, youth, tech, worship, welcome team, hospitality, setup, safety, care ministry, prayer team, foundations of faith, friends for life, and healing the heartbreak of abortion, right? And all of these ministries have just been started in this church because we've had a vision that if we're gonna start something, we're gonna do it well with the strength of leadership around it, so that we would have lasting impact in this church and in this world. And so God has just beautifully knit together this church community to do so much faithful and fruitful ministry. I like to say that doing ministry with your friends is way more fun, but it's also way more fruitful. And so I just love doing ministry with all these friends of mine, and we've always had that kind of a vision. So what's next? What's in our future as Calvary Chapel Palos Verdes? That's a big question. Well, in our first year, we met in the parking lot. And then in our second year, we added a second service. In our third year, we probably should have added a third service, but we were kind of holding on until we did that. And then in our fourth year, we did that. We added a third service. Yeah, this one's full. The last one's full. The next one's pretty full. By the way, if you need a little extra space and elbow room, there is room in third service, but not for very much longer, right? So God has been faithful to add people to this church. And so what are we gonna do? Well, the question is like, are you gonna add another service? That's certainly not something we want to do. We love more space. Like if you've got some bigger building and you're just hanging onto it and you wanna be part of this story, I love just come and talk to me, you know? God's done some pretty amazing things already, but if you've got a building or some piece of land that you just wanna be like Barnabas, here you go. You know, that'd be pretty cool. But right now, when we moved into this place or when Calvary Palos Verdes started, Life on the Hill Church was started as an outreach ministry of Rolling Hills Covenant Church. And Rolling Hills Covenant Church has made a great impact in this community. And we wouldn't be here today without being able to stand upon the shoulders of what Rolling Hills Covenant has done here for decades. And so Rolling Hills Covenant Church owns this building and we lease it from them and we're happy to do that. And we would love to buy this building. And I just wanna tell you, church, that we are in a position where if it was on the table, we would be able to buy this building. So right now that's not an option, but we're praying that it could be one day. We're even considering, what if the building next to us were something that we could buy? I mean, this is my dream. These are just my ideas, right? What if one of these buildings next to us was kids ministry and youth ministry classes and all these things, and then we just turn this space into all sanctuary, and then we could increase our capacity, maybe put a balcony up there, that'd be pretty cool. So there's a lot of different ideas that we have, but a lot of times these are just man's ideas. These are just ideas that we're just thinking, Lord, what are you doing? We believe that probably in our future we want to plant a church. We want to continue to increase the work of God that is happening in this world. So I can't tell you exactly what the future holds, but this is what I know, is we're gonna continue to preach the word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I remember when we taught through the book of 1 John, I was talking to the Lord before I began that series, and I felt this conviction come upon me to give a very simple, clear, direct invitation for people to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior every single message. And I said to the Lord, Lord, if I do that, then you bring the people. And every Sunday of that series, people got saved. And so I was remembering that. I was just talking to the Lord this week about how we're going to begin the Gospel of John. And I just said, God, I want to do that again. I often will give invitations for people to receive Christ, but when we begin the Gospel of John, I want to give a very simple, clear, direct invitation for people to come to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I want you to hold me accountable to that, church, and I want you to be praying for that with expectation that God is going to continue to add to his church. I just recently read this story about how Charles Spurgeon was having a conversation with another pastor that was in the same time, in the same community as him. And the pastor was asking Charles Spurgeon, why are so many people coming to this church that you're at? Why are so many people getting saved? And Charles Spurgeon asked the pastor a question. He said, well, when you preach on a Sunday, do you expect that God is going to save somebody every time? He's like, well, no, of course not. I don't expect that every time somebody's gonna get saved. And Charles Spurgeon said, that's your problem. And it's our expectation that the Lord wants to save souls. He wants to bring more people to heaven. And we, as his church, are called to be that place where the lost can come home. So we're gonna continue to be that as a church. And how are we gonna do that? Well, we do have some vision for this church, and it's really found in our church's logo, if you didn't realize this. So tune your attention to the screen, and just, I wanna explain for a moment what our logo represents. That was pretty cool, huh? Yeah, that's all Johnny. Johnny does that really good job. So this is our vision. It's broken up into these four parts represented in our logo. If you look in the top left corner, that is the first thing that we do, is we want to know Jesus. And we do that through teaching and preaching God's word. Every single time that we gather, except for this Sunday, you can expect that we are gonna exposit God's word, and that's gonna be the normal. A normal Sunday, you're not gonna hear the pastor telling stories. You're gonna get the word of God, because when you get the word of God, that's how you know Jesus. And then we also have a vision to be known by Jesus. And we do that through worship and prayer. Every gathering, we want to have musical worship to God, and we've got such an amazing team of people also ready to pray for you for whatever your need is. And so worship and prayer is a key aspect of what we do. We also want to be known by one another, and we do this through community and discipleship. Pastor Rob oversees the discipleship for the men in our church. Nicole Kim oversees discipleship for women. And if you need discipleship, we want to get you connected to somebody who could pour into you the teachings of Scripture and help you to walk with Jesus. Community is such an important part of what we do here. We want to be the most welcoming, loving, just... you know what I mean? Just, you come here and you just feel at home. We do this through our home groups, the at-the-table groups, where we've had 35 home groups this last season with over 450 people in the church involved. And so community is an important part of that. You know, we wear name tags in this church because oftentimes it just begins with somebody knowing your name or you knowing someone else's name. That begins a relationship where you are known by one another. And so we have reasons for why we do things here. And then lastly, we've got to make Jesus known. And we do that through evangelism and missions. We obviously want to give ample opportunity throughout all of our ministries for people to know Jesus. And that's why we give the gospel every time we gather. But we also have a heart for missions. And the work that the Lord is doing through Gospel South America, which our church is behind and will continue to be behind, is really amazing. Even this Sunday in Concepcion, Chile, they're having their first Sunday service right this day, same anniversary, right? And we get to be part of that work. We helped to support that work. And then we are planning to send out a young couple from our church this coming year in February. Tyler and Jenny Meganson right here are being raised up to be sent out, and our church will send them as missionaries to Africa. And so we're really excited for them. You're gonna be hearing more in the coming months about how we can come alongside them. There's more that I could talk about with regard to missions, but like I said, we want to be a church that sends, a church that raises people up, equips the saints for the work of ministry. I really believe that our church will send missionaries to the nations, that we will plant churches, that God has this in our future. And so he's really just getting started in that, because the first few years, the mission has been planting this church, right? But as this Jerusalem has been founded here, then we're beginning to think of, you know, Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth as God continues to build his church. And so it's hard because you really want to set some goals and some vision for the future. But what I've really tried to do is say, Lord, I trust you to lead us because you've been so faithful to us in the past. If I look back over these last 5 years and I see God's hand of faithfulness, how can I not expect that in the coming years, God is going to do so much more? Especially if we hold to this great promise that I read to you from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. And I want to close with this promise, just to remind us that this is what we have been living in, this is what we will continue to live in, is the promise of God that he has for his church. And this is what gives him glory. So Ephesians 3, 20 to 21 says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." Can we say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.